السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, I have a question for all of you. I want you to think of a role model and think of a living role model. Don't say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Living role model. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was indeed the role model of the Muslims, your state would not be your state. So leave that aside. Think of a living role model. Somebody you know who is living, or maybe if they died recently, but somebody you know personally. Have you thought of a role model, everybody? Yes or no? Hello? Yes. Wake up. Yes. You had breakfast. You're going to have lunch. You're hungry, right? So talk. For how many of you is that role model a parent? 1, 2, 3. Those who think and raise their hand, I don't count them. In all the years that I have talked about parenting, and I'm beginning the series of lectures on parenting, inshallah, across the world, different countries, I have never had more than this show of hands. Less than 5% of the people who put up their hand, if you ask them if their role model is a parent. What does that mean? It means that for 95% of the population, their role model is not a parent. And interestingly, when I speak to schools, I add the word teacher also. I say, how many of you, for you, is the role model a parent or a teacher? And surprise, surprise, same results. For 95% of the people of the world, Muslim or otherwise, interestingly, it's nothing to do with Muslims alone, anyone. For 95% of the people, their role model is neither a parent nor a teacher. The two roles who have the maximum face time with children. The reason I'm saying this to you is because parenting comes with a responsibility. And it's a real tragedy that the two people in the life of the child, the mother and the father, who have invested the maximum, who have spent the maximum in the upbringing of the child, are not seen by the child as a role model. Children have all kinds of role models, good and bad. What does that tell you about the quality of parenting? I believe that parenting is a serious job and must be undertaken consciously, clearly understanding what it entails. Children have a right to have good parents who can be role models for them and who can not only teach them the tools to succeed in this life, but also the tools to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give to the world. Success in this life and success in the next life. That is what the parents need to be able to do. That's your qualifying factor. So, time to do some self-assessment. My brothers and sisters, please remember that whether you like it or not, you are a role model for your children. Your choice is to decide whether you want to be a role model that the child can look up to, or whether you want to be a role model that the child has to look down upon. But whether you like it or not, you are a role model. Children listen with their eyes, not with their ears. And they don't care what you say until they see what you do. Anyone who has children has no such thing as a private life. This is to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned ayat in Surah An-Nur, where He set limits of what to teach children, when they should come to you and when they should not come to you. Whatever you do is under the lights and will be noticed, learnt and emulated. If there is any gap between the walk and the talk, your credibility with your children will fall through it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you to guide your children. And the enormity of this responsibility is the reason for the honorable status that Islam gives to parents. It's not just for the biology of producing a child. Rabbits do it better. Parents who behave dishonorably before their children are the worst of humanity. Abysmal, abominable, and disgusting. To behave dishonorably includes cursing. And then you wonder, where did the child learn these words? It includes disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. And then we wonder when the child disobeys us. If you have no problem disobeying Allah, why should your child have a problem disobeying you? You didn't even create the child. You disobey the one who created you. Today, the good side of it is that young Muslim parents are anxious to ensure that their children are brought up as practicing Muslims and are a credit to themselves and their parents. All power to them. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them. But they must be aware that it's hard work to create an investment that will yield great returns long after you are gone. The alternative is to leave behind a legacy of horror which will yield its own result. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. What kind of investment our children will be is up to us. My brothers and sisters, Islam recognizes the nuclear family as the building block of society. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned parents over a dozen times in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them and enjoined upon children that they must respect and obey them and treat them with kindness when they are old. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the relationship of the spouses and called it one of his signs, one of his ayats. And emphasized its qualities of faithfulness, tranquility, love and mercy. And he said, Jalla Jalaluhu, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. Wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwajan litaskunu ilayha wa ja'ala baynakum mawaddatan wa rahma. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. In Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and I've mentioned this ayah, and one of my khutbah nikahs is on this basis. And Allah said, and among his signs is this, that he created for you your spouses from among yourselves, that you may find contentment and tranquility, sukoon, in them, and he has put between you love and mercy, mawadda wa rahma. Verily, in that are indeed signs for people who reflect. About duty to parents and how children should relate to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi hamalathu ummuhu wahanan ala wahan. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Luqman, and we have enjoined on a person, on a man or woman, to be dutiful and good to his parents. His mother bore him in weakness and hardship upon weakness and hardship. And the weaning is in 2 years. Give thanks to me and to your parents, and unto me is the final destination. However, all of this is based on the responsibility that he, Jalla Jalaluhu, sent parents with. The honor is a result of fulfilling that responsibility. If parents do not fulfill that responsibility and instead misguide children and encourage them to disobey Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set the limits of obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have enjoined on man to be good and dutiful to his parents. But if they strive to make you join with me in worship, anything as a partner of which you have no knowledge, then do not obey them. If they encourage you to disobey Allah, then disobey them. Unto me is your return, and I shall tell you what you used to do. A big misconception that Muslim parents have is that their responsibility is like that of any other parent. Feed them, clothe them, shelter them, send them to a good, usually meaning expensive school, and safeguard their future by investing for them if they have the funds to do so, set up a trust fund or some property, and that's it. Well, it isn't. Given that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muslims with a special responsibility, it can and must be argued that merely taking care of the physical and to an extent emotional needs of the child is not sufficient for a child which has come with his destiny written to be a leader. As was the practice of kings of old, princes and princesses were taught and raised differently from ordinary people. They were raised to prepare them for the responsibility that their birth loaded them with. The son or daughter of a king has his or her career choice predetermined. They have no choice in the matter, and so must prepare for it. We have myriad examples of what happened to those who prepared and those who ignored the responsibility and simply spent their lives in the pursuit of pleasure. They lost everything, including their privileged positions and in many cases their lives. I argue that that a Muslim child is in the same position, not as a future king or queen, but as a leader, leading not to worldly success alone, but to success in both worlds. And so he or she must be prepared and equipped to fulfill that trust. He or she must be treated differently, taught differently, enabled differently, and inspired differently. It is not for the young of the golden eagle to be taught to scratch in the dirt for worms. He must be taught to fly in the eye of the storm and take his prey on the wing. Allama Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi, in his famous nazm in Baal Jibrail, which says, Ek naujawan ke naam, and I'll do the translation for those who unfortunately do not understand Urdu. And he said, Tere sofe hai afrangi, tere kaleen hai irani, lahu mujhko rulati hai jawano ki tanasani. Amarat kya, shikoe khusravi bhi ho to kya hasil, na zore hai dari tujhme, na istighnae salmani. نہ ڈھونڈ اس چیز کو تہذیب حاضر کی تجلی میں کہ پایا میں نے استغنا میں معراج مسلمانی. عقابی روح جب بیدار ہوتی ہے جوانوں میں نظر آتی ہے اس کو اپنی منزل آسمانوں میں. نہ ہو نومید نومیدی زوال علم و عرفاں ہے امید مرد مومن ہے خدا کے رازدانوں میں. نہیں تیرا نشیمن قصر سلطانی کی گنبد پر تو شاہی ہے بسیرا کر پہاڑوں کی چٹانوں میں. علامہ اقبال سیڈ, یور فرنیچر, یور صوفاز آر فرام یورپ اینڈ یور کارپیٹ فرام ایران. دا لگژری ایز سیکنگ آف یوتھ میکس می کرائی ٹیئرز آف بلڈ. کتاب برا دکھتا نہیں ٹرانسلیشن, سیریسلی یو کی ناٹ ٹرانسلیٹ. آئی ٹرائیڈ, دی ٹرانسلیشن آئی گاٹ واز ورس دین دس. دس از مائی ٹیک آن اٹ. Then he says, you leave alone leadership. Amarat kya? Leave alone leadership. Let me not go into the tafsir of this, otherwise we'll only be doing this. Leave alone leadership. What use is it even if you get the power and pomp and glory of Khusra of Iran? You have neither the power and strength of Haider Ali radiallahu anhu, nor the contentment and istighna of Salman al-Farsi. He said, don't seek this. in the glitter of modern society, for in contentment, in istighna of the heart, I have found the peak, the miraj of the Muslim. And then he said, only when an eagle's spirit awakens in youthful hearts, does it see its destination in the heavens. Despair not, for despair is the decline of knowledge and understanding. The faith of the believer is in the hearts of those who know Allah. Your home is not on the dome of a royal palace. You are an eagle. Make your home in the rocks of mountains. I'm sure all Urdu speakers, especially those who make it a point to agitate for the protection and development of Urdu, have children who know these verses and can understand them and also read them in Urdu. If not, we do not need to seek further than within ourselves to answer why it is almost a century after Allama Iqbal rahmatullahi alayhi said these words, we are still scratching in the dirt. Development and change happens when we work for it, not when we shout about its need but actually do nothing. Urdu will develop when we learn and teach it to our children, not when we agitate for the government to support what we don't support. Tahaffuz e Urdu ka kaam kiska hai? Urdu bolne walon ka hai, government ka nahi hai. I have met many parents who struggled very hard to overcome difficult circumstances in their childhood and who say with, and they say to themselves and to others with great emotion, sometimes tears in the eyes, and they say, I will never allow my children to face the hardship that I have to go through. Have you heard this statement from anybody? Yes. A lot of times, right? I will never allow my children to face the hardship that I had to go through. So whenever I hear this, because I consult with business families and so on, and one of the jobs I do is mentoring of young people, business family members. So whenever the old man, the father, tells me this thing, I will never allow them to go through this, I tell them, I say, respectfully, let me ask you, why don't you change your words and say, I will never allow my children to build resilience, to build character, to build strength. I will never allow them to have the power that I had to succeed. Now, usually that's a big shock. So I never said that. I say, that's exactly what you said. That is exactly what you said. You became what you became because of what you went through, and you want to deny that to your child by protecting them, by giving them, three levels of security around them and Allah knows what. And that's exactly what Allama Iqbal is saying. Ye afrangi sofa mein aur irani khalino mein kuch nahi milega. Overprotection and mollycoddling is the worst thing that parents can do to their children. All we need to do is to look around us and see what our children are suffering from. And I use the word suffering deliberately because it is suffering. And that is overfeeding by paranoid mothers. Certainly not starvation. Fat, flabby freaks that are fit for nothing can achieve nothing. Decide what you want your child to be and then throw out all the garbage in your fridge and chuck him out into the playing field. And if he returns with his shirt clean and his knees unscraped, send him out again until he learns how to play football. Seriously. My brothers and sisters, we need gnarled oaks with deep roots that can withstand the vagaries of climate, waterless summers, the mauling of gales in freezing winter, and yet stand firm, giving shade to the traveler and bearing witness to life. We don't need greenhouse trees that can't survive in the real world. And that takes nurturing. And that takes nurturing and a lot more than feeding Cerelac and bananas. It takes wisdom, the willingness to allow them to fall. Bandage the wound, but ensure that the lesson is learnt. Parenting requires that parents develop themselves to a level where they become inspiration in the lives of their children. It requires us to face the fact that ignorant parents can only produce ignorant children. Parents who have no books in the house will not have children addicted to reading. Parents whose conversation centers around the lives of other people cannot have children who speak about great ideas and dream of changing the world. Parents whose major life decisions are which dress to wear or which handbag to carry can't guide children who are struggling with existential questions relating to their purpose in life. You will be surprised, or maybe not surprised, at some of the questions that your children come and ask me. If I tell you those questions, you will stop sleeping for a week. But of course I don't. What they tell me is confidential. It goes into my grave and I tell them what I need to tell them. But you will be surprised. Big question, why don't they go to you? It's not out of shame. Seriously, don't take offense. They don't think you have a clue. They do not think you have a clue. In 2008, Google had 30 million searches per month. So where do you think people were going before Google? You mean they had no questions? People ask when they know they can get an answer. And that's why I say the world must be divided into BG and AG, you know, pre-Google and before Google and after Google. You want your children to look up to you? Do something about yourself. Seriously, do something about yourself. Parents must wake up and face the fact that the problems related to raising children are really a reflection of how little they have invested in themselves. Paupers can hardly be expected to help others. My brothers and sisters, the time to change yourself is now. Muslim families today spend far too little time in inculcating the value of contribution, of each generation creating its own legacy and not being content to ride on the back of the earlier generation. They give their children the same education that is given to children of ordinary people who are not Muslim. They don't prepare their children for the distinctly different responsibility that they will have to shoulder. This is not arrogance. It's merely recognizing the fact that Muslim children are going to inherit a mission that is completely different from anyone else. They have been sent to give, not to take. So they must build a treasure house of faith, wisdom, compassion, courage and talents. Because you can only give what you have. It is essential for them to understand the distinctly different responsibility that comes with such a mission for which they will be answerable to Allah. Parents often equate expense with quality. They give their children the most expensive education, which often insulates them from the realities of life. And they never learn to fight the real battles. Most such schools are very keen for the child to feel good and bend over backwards to make the child, within quotes, happy. Parents love it. Children obviously love it even more. But in the process, the children learn nothing about life. Parents set no boundaries. The school teaches no boundaries. And children grow up with the feeling that as long as they are happy, they can do whatever they want. Nothing is more destructive for the child than this attitude. Parents give children expensive toys, mostly as guilt placebos, to compensate for the fact that they have their own social lives which don't allow them to spend real time with their child and which teach the children to define human value in terms of material wealth. The one with the most toys is the best kid. And they learn the value of momentary entertainment, living lives of animals, going from sensation to sensation. The TV and today the iPad, gadgets, especially iPads, are given as substitutes for mothering and fathering. And parents proudly tell you that their little two-year-old can do wonders with his iPad. They don't ask what the maker of iPad, Steve Jobs, said about his product and children. When you get the text of this khutbah, you will get the link to the article on it. Read it. I'm quoting from that article. Jobs seemed to have set the bar in Silicon Valley for entrepreneurs encouraging their kids to be creative by limiting access to the consumer tech products they hawk to the public. In an article in the Sunday New York Times titled, Steve Jobs was a low-tech parent, reporter Nick Bilton found, a growing trend among the California Silicon Valley tech set is to limit children's technology use. Many of the people behind the social media platforms, gadgets, and games that are consuming our kids' time and minds aren't actually allowing their own children to waste an entire Saturday afternoon playing Minecraft on iPad. Chris Anderson, former editor of Wired magazine, chief executive of 3D Robotics, and father of five, emphasized that he and other tech colleagues are limiting technology in the home. My kids accuse me and my wife of being facets and overly concerned about tech, and they say that none of their friends have the same rules. And he says that's because we have seen the dangers of technology firsthand. I have seen it in myself, and I don't want to see that happen to my kids. A 2011 New York Times story reported that engineers and execs from Apple, eBay, Google, Hewlett-Packard, and Yahoo are sending their kids to Waldorf Elementary School in Los Altos, California, where kids are discouraged from watching television. This is not run by the Imam of the Haram, believe me. He said kids are discouraged from watching television or logging on to the internet at home, and there are no computers or electronic devices in the school. The Times found, and hold your breath, that Alan Eagle, who works in executive communications at Google, has a degree in computer science from Dartmouth, has a fifth grader at Waldorf who doesn't know how to use Google. The goal of a tech-free childhood is to make sure that hands-on creativity, expressive movement, and person-to-person interaction in kids is not stifled by escape into the netherworld. See the language. Netherworld. Those of you who read books, can I see a show of hands? Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Kaisa seekhenge yaar ho, kya to bhi hai? Netherworld is the term used in the English language to the life after death, and their concept of life after death is all evil. That's why it's called the netherworld. And there is this boatman which takes you across this river. There's all these legends about somebody whose beloved one died, and he or she, whatever, I can't remember which one. Maybe it was a woman who did it, because men never love women as much as women love men. So, and they never like to sacrifice. So must be the woman who must have chased the man. And she went with this boatman across the river and got him back and all kinds of stuff. Netherworld, which is a very tragic way of looking at. And they say they don't want their children to disappear into the netherworld of 4-inch screens. Waldorf believes that their students are gaining math, patterning, and problem-solving skills by knitting socks. They also suggest that learning fractions is best accomplished by learning about halves and quarters by cutting up food. And you don't want to know what Waldorf charges as a fee. Just ask yourself, my brothers and sisters, what do these very smart people who build the stuff and have become billionaires on that basis, what do they know about it that you don't? And if it is indeed as good as you have been telling yourself, then why don't they allow their children to touch it until they are teenagers? So is your little two-year-old with his iPad smart, or are you dumb? So what must you do now? Take away the screens, give them books. Don't worry if they scream. Nobody can scream forever. Let him scream, you scream with him. And after that it becomes okay. And then they will learn the joy of reading, and doors will open for them without the harm of the screens. My brothers and sisters, I cannot possibly overemphasize the importance of self-development. The tragedy today is that we have learnt to create a life for ourselves which is so frenetic, so transactional, so chasing money and never having enough of it, that it does no good to us and it does no good to the children. The children, therefore, do not even see you as a role model. The children see you as a walking, talking ATM machine. And the mother is the cart. If he can't get it from you, goes to the mother, makes enough of a nuisance either here or there, and he gets what he wants. I consult with business families, and once in a while, we find, and I can remember two such cases, which ended up in some very bad litigation between, in one case, between the parents and children, and in the other case, between siblings. Lot of bad blood, lot of bad feeling. And believe me, I'm not exaggerating. Every single one of those cases can be traced back to toddler behavior in the nursery. I'll give you just one example and I'll end with that. How many times have you seen this? And if you have been doing it in your house, go make tawbah. But how many times have you seen this behavior? Where you have two siblings, two little kids, small kids. They want the same toy. So one is grabbing it, the other one is grabbing the toy from the other end or grabbing the kid, and they are fighting. How many times have you seen the mother or the father saying, "Doesn't matter, let him have it, I'll give you another one." Have you seen this or not? You know what you are teaching them? That is what translates into destroying your business when they are now no longer 2 years old, when they are now in their 30s and 40s. They do that because you don't have another one to give the other one. And you never taught them to share. You never taught them to share. You never taught them that it is belongs to both. Give to your brother, give to your sister. You never taught them that. No, I'll give you your own. It all begins in the home. It all begins in your nursery. It all begins in your kitchen, in your bedroom, in your sitting room. And when that child is still in single digits in terms of his age, under 5, all the value lessons in their life, they learn before the age of 5, believe me. Now you might say, well, my child is already in their teens, what must I do? First, go make tawbah. And secondly, do whatever damage control you can do now. It's a strange tragedy, but one of the prophecies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the last day, you can literally see it coming true before your eyes. And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the slave woman will give birth to her own master or mistress. All you need to do is go and see parents' behavior with their children. Most parents today are terrified of their children. Little 8, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 14-year-old, they run the house. They dictate to you, this is what I will do, this is what I will eat, this is what I will... The house is like a hotel with room service. Come when you want, go when you want, throw what you want, somebody will pick up after you, somebody will give you food whenever you feel like eating. I don't feel like eating now, I won't eat this, I won't eat that. These are our homes. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Astaghfirullah al-azim. These are our homes, and believe me, you are the creator. You are the creator of that home. Take back your dignity. Stop behaving like a slave to an 80 or 9 year old. Take back your dignity. Or be prepared, that slave will grow stronger. That slave master will grow stronger. And you are going to grow weaker. Make no mistake. If you live long enough, you will bend over. If you live long enough, you will lose your eyesight. You will lose your hearing. Gradually, I'm not wishing this on you. I'm telling you the realities. Read a book. There's a book called Being Mortal. And that slave master you are teaching today will be your master. Wallahi, I pity that day. May Allah save you from that day. May Allah save you from that day. That is Jahannam on earth. For an elderly parent to be ordered around by their children. You would have seen, and I have seen many examples of parents, their entire world being rearranged, re-engineered because a little piece of meat was born in the house. thing. Career choices depend on that. Social life depends on that. Where you go, what time you go, what you... Everything depends on that little child. I have yet to see, and I'm not saying they are not there, but I have yet to see one child who gives up a promising career and comes back home to be with his parents because the parents need them. Must happen, no? Equal. If you do that, no big deal. You only did what your parents did. And you did it for, you are purely doing it for a short, far shorter time than they did for you. Why doesn't it happen? Because you did not bring up your children in that way. You constantly told them, no, your career is important. Oh, your career is important. No, go for your career, go for it. So the child now says, my career is important. Who taught him that lesson? Nobody says the career is not important, but who taught him the lesson, the dua of the father or the mother is more important than the career. Because that dua will open doors where you are helpless. That dua will shield you when you can't do it for yourself. You didn't teach them that. And the reason you did not teach them that is because you don't even know how to make that dua. You never made the effort. You didn't learn. You did not make the effort. My brothers and sisters, I told you. It's my job to tell you, and I tell you because I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you all this, believe me. I don't have any children, alhamdulillah. I only have students. No, don't laugh. I am very happy with the decision. With the decision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely. I'm absolutely delighted. I don't have to. I never changed any nappies in my life, and believe me, that's one thing I don't look forward to. I never had to wake up in the middle of the night because some kid was crying. No way. Slept peacefully all my life. I only have students. And I can tell you, inshallah, Mustan, they will pray more for me and my maghfirat than your kids will pray for you. Wallahi. And if you don't believe me, let me ask you a final question before I close. How many of you, and let me see a show of hands, how many of you prayed for the maghfirat of your parents and your grandparents in tahajjud today? Show of hands. Same number. Less than 5%. Less than 5%. You are proving to yourself, and don't be offended, that you are a lousy investment. Change that. Number one, pray for the maghfirat of your parents and your grandparents. You need me to tell you that? Make tawbah. I'm not asking you to pray for my parents. Pray for your own parents. Pray for your own parents and grandparents. In tahajjud, wake up in tahajjud and pray. You owe them that, wallahi. You owe them that 2 rakat in tahajjud. For all the nights they sat up and cried for you. You owe them that. Imagine you are lying in your grave. And believe me, if you don't bring up your children right, this will happen to you. You are lying in your grave. All your amal are finished. There is nothing you can do for yourself. The only thing which will work for you is the dua of your child. And you will be lying in that grave for years and years and centuries, hungering and waiting for it. It won't come. It will not come. Because you did not teach your children to do that. And you did not teach them because you do not do it for your own parents. Make tawbah. Let not tomorrow go. Let not tahajjud tomorrow go without every single one of you waking up and praying 2 rakat and making dua for the maghfirat of your parents and your grandparents. Wallahi, you owe them. And if you don't pray for them, then it is a qarza, it is a loan that you have taken from them and you have not returned. Shame on you. Shame on you. Don't do this to them, and do not bring up children who will do this to you. Teach them the value of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obedience. Teach them to connect with Allah. And inshallah, you will be delighted. You will be delighted to see those children every day while you live. And you will be delighted with what will happen to you in your qabr when those children cry before Allah to forgive you. Because Allah accepts those du'as. Allah accepts those du'as. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you children who you can be proud of, and children who you will be an inspiration for, and children who, if they are here and if I ask them who is your inspiration, they'll put up their hand and they'll be thinking of you, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you children who will be an investment for you in the dunya wal akhirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to see what you are doing to your own lives and to rearrange your lives and your schedules and give the right priorities the priority. And not keep chasing your tail round and round and round, imagining that you are doing something great in life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this figment of the imagination from your mind and give you reality with respect to your life so that you can build a beautiful life in this world and an even more beautiful life in the akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain.